Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
This program is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries, Post Office Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. I'm your host today, Brian Wilkie of St. Andrew's Christian Church in Rockland. As always, I want to start by thanking you, our listeners. We're so grateful for your encouragement and support. Please remember that you can always visit our website for materials to encourage and support you in your Christian walk. If you miss an episode of the show, you can go to our website and download the podcast or the MP3 of our broadcast. That's at gncm.ca, goodnewschristianministries.ca. Today, I'm especially thankful to an anonymous donor who has made a donation in memory of Bill Harrison in order to support this program, and thank you so much for that donation. Our theme today is to take a look at one of the basic facts of our existence and one of the basic doctrines of the Church, and that's the sin of humanity, the fact that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's precisely what Scripture says in the book of Romans, chapter 3, verses 19 to 26. Paul writes these words, "What shall we conclude then? Are we any better? Not at all. We have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away, they have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves, their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, ruin and misery mark their ways. And the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes." Now, we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. But now, a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did this to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. This scripture from Romans is a core piece of understanding of what it is that God has done for us, given our situation. For we have to understand our need before we can fully understand all that Christ has done for us. And while today's message will focus on the sin that has plagued humanity, it is a message of good news and hope because of what God has done to redeem us from sin. We'll get a chance to take a look at all of that in a few moments. But first, let's listen to this song written by a redeemed sinner. This was written by John Newton, and the song is Amazing Grace. John Newton was a slave trader who turned from his wickedness because of faith in Jesus Christ. The song is sung today by George Beverly Shea, a Winchester native who made a great contribution to the gospel of Christ, singing the gospel, especially in working together with Billy Graham. So this is from George Beverly Shea's album, I'd Rather Have Jesus, and here is Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to hear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed.
Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come.
'Tis grace hath brought me safe. Days to sing God's praise than when we first
began.
There's something wrong with the world. That's one idea that doesn't need any defending. Everybody, everywhere, sees that there are problems in the world. The problem of evil, of suffering, of difficulty, the problem that people experience in their own personal lives, the problems of loneliness, disenchantment, disillusionment, the problems of anger and violence, the problems of feeling unworthy and not belonging. We can go through a list after list of negative experiences, negative feelings, and negative events in the world. Whether one is a Christian or belongs to another world religion or is a secularist, there is no doubt that there are things about the world that just aren't going right. And the question becomes, why? Now, the answer to that question, according to the scriptures, is that we have sinned. You see, the scriptures teach that God made the world, and the world was right on track up until our first parents, Adam and Eve, disobeyed God, and so began a long road of decline and destruction in an otherwise perfect creation. Now, that's not the way everybody sees the problem. Although we all agree that there's a problem, different worldviews look at it quite differently. And I think we need to understand today that we are facing a number of different viewpoints on how this problem exists. For instance, in some world religions, this world isn't seen as a reality. It's seen as an illusion or a dream. And so that all this suffering and all this disenchantment is just a problem of our imaginations. Well, whatever the case may be, that still says there's a problem. And there's a problem in our thinking in that viewpoint. That's the primary problem, that our problem is in our thinking. In Christianity, we definitely understand that our sin affects the way we think about things. Sometimes people are more negative than they need to be. Sometimes people are blind to problems. Sometimes our whole mental health is upset by changes in our biology changes in our way of thinking and our patterns of thought, and damage done through injury, through pollution, through other sources. So the thinking is definitely part of the problem in Christian belief, but the thinking is affected by a real world of actions and reactions, of, as the psychologist would say, stimulus and response. There are people who look at the world today and say, well, the world is broken, but it's always been broken. It's never really worked that well. There's a whole, a very strong and pervasive and persuasive worldview that says that human beings exist as a result of an evolutionary process. Now, some people believe that process had nothing to do with God, that we simply started billions of years ago as a blast of energy that eventually consolidated into particles and then atoms and molecules and eventually into living beings through a long process of random acts. They say the universe never really was perfect. It was always developing towards perfection. Some of the optimists among that crowd say that someday evolution will bring us to perfection and all this suffering will be done with. I laud them for their optimism, but the indications of our world around us are that if we're left to our own devices and evolution is left to its own devices, then we're far more likely to end up a pile of radioactive dust than we are to end up as some kind of perfect energy beings like so many science fiction shows want to present. No, the difference between the Christian worldview and that secular worldview is in two places. One, in the belief that there actually is a track and we've fallen off the track. The other is the belief that somehow or other this will all just work out on its own. And we as Christians believe that we need help. We're in serious trouble, and we need to swallow our pride and accept the help that God gives us. You see, the Bible teaches that the universe was on track, that however long the process was, God saw the whole process as good. When there was still just light and dark, and that was all that there was to speak of in the universe, then God said, that's good. Everything's going along according to plan. Do you understand that throughout the story of creation, along the 6 days that are described there, at every point God says, you know, this is going exactly like I wanted it to. When there's land and water, but no trees or green things on the land and no fish or creatures in the water, God still says, that's okay. It's still on track. When there's all kinds of animals filling the earth and the air, and you know, I can't help but notice that some of those animals and some of those plants would have been subject to death, even reading the story as literally as you can, that there would have been plants which were given for food to the animals. It's clear that plants live and die. They blossom and flourish and wither away. And God doesn't say there's something wrong with that. He's happy to enjoy the lilies of the field for a day and for them then to be gone. But the death of a plant is certainly different from that of an animal. And we would also say that the death of an animal is different than that of a human being. The scripture says that you and I were built for eternity, that God intended us for us to live forever in fellowship with Him. He doesn't attach that kind of a promise to mayflies or mosquitoes or even to elephants or bears. There are different things that live and die in their time and place, and then they're replaced by something else. We, in our sentimentality, might say that's bad. And sometimes those things might not happen at God's behest, but because of human sin. But God is quite happy to have the seasons come and go, to have times change and things take new places in His creation. And all the way along, He says that it's good, that we were on track. Even before humanity sins. There's one place where God sees or points to a perfection that is still coming. When Adam is alone on the earth, and he's encountered the animals and the plants and all the features of this wonderful, good creation that God has made, Adam is still alone, and God says that one thing is not good. And that one thing that's not good merely points to a further perfection that will take place when Adam is joined in fellowship with his wife and when the society of humanity begins to take shape and form. And then God says, everything is on track. This is just what I was looking for. Here is a human creature made in his own image, able to respond to him in love. The stars and the galaxies all glorify God just by doing what they do by nature. But here are some people who love God and praise and glorify God by choice, that are in a living relationship with God. And God says, that's very good. Well, you probably are familiar with what happened to disturb that initial condition, but we'll look at that in just a few moments after we listen to Jimmy Needham sing about his great testimony that he is forgiven and loved.
Tell me I'm forgiven and loved. 'Cause I hear it from the street corner priestess on how God is loving, how man can be clean. But my joy has been on holiday and my peace is almost passed away. Tell me I'm forgiven and free. Oh, I tried and tried to rectify my hopeless situation, but by the have work to do. Now I'm working 9 to 5 like I can earn my own salvation, but there is no condemnation in you. No, no. Oh, whisper to me now that it's silence of these walls, righteousness lost its appeal. Dirty deeds have done me in. Oh, but that can't stop the faithful friend giving mercy once again. As you heal, here it is, I'm feeling. My hopeless situation, and his blood commands my guilt to leave. Now on Calvary I stand, empty pockets, open hands. Oh, there is no condemnation. Forgiven in love, child, you're forgiven, and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven in love.
The story of creation, with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil standing before them, with one command. One simple command, don't eat of that tree. And somehow or other, Adam and Eve are tempted and drawn into doing the one thing that they shouldn't be doing. That tree says an awful lot about humanity. You see, God knows what good and evil is. And sometimes we think that Adam and Eve couldn't have known what good and evil was until they ate of that tree. But the tree was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil before they ate it. It was a tree in which they had perfect knowledge of good and evil when they knew enough not to disobey God. I've had friends tell me, well, you know, you pretty much have to know a good deal about sin to be able to preach about it. Because how can you know anything about it if you haven't tried it? But the irony of that statement is that that would make one person in all of history to have really no knowledge of sin. But this is the person who actually knows sin best, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You see, Jesus Christ never sinned. And in never sinning, he shows a knowledge of sin that all of us have never achieved. Because Jesus knew sin was bad, and therefore he never engaged in it. Adam and Eve, for a brief moment, under the wiles of the serpent, they thought sin would be good. They thought there was something to gain. Instead, they lost so much because they thought they knew better than God. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, lived a sinless life precisely because he knew sin better than any of us. He knew that he should never choose it. How well do we know sin? Unfortunately, we have shown our foolishness by doing things we shouldn't do and either paying the consequences ourselves or seeing the people we love hurt because of our choices. Ultimately, sin is a terrible thing that has thrown the world off. And no amount of evolution, no amount of human progress, nothing that we can do through strength of will is going to undo the damage that has been done and set things back on track. The Scripture tells us that this can only be fixed by the mercy of God. Only if God will take the responsibility for fixing everything, for setting things right. Only if God will change our hearts. Only if God will work with us on our habits. Only if God decides to forgive and to repair instead of to judge and destroy. And the good news we have in the gospel is that that's precisely what God has done. That God in Christ has decided to take upon himself the whole burden of sin, of setting everything right, of forgiving us for our sins, and of reaching out to those that we have hurt with healing and restoration. That God has decided to bear in his body our hurts and our weaknesses that come as a result of sin. Many people are kept by pride from embracing the good news that God has given. They think, I'll get myself cleaned up. I'll work on it. I'll sort it out. And I want to assure you that the problem is well beyond your capacity. God has plenty for you to do in relationship with him, but it all starts with that relationship being set right through you accepting that you're helpless before your sin and that you need Jesus to forgive you. For you accepting that there is a God who loves you just as you are, and is willing to work with you to bring you to that fullness of life that you have longed for. Sin is not easily overcome, and it's not good news. But the good news is that the world was meant to be better, and that through Jesus Christ, it will be the better place that God intended it to be. Will you be part of that kingdom? Will you be part of that repair? Jesus invites us all to join him in his family, in his kingdom, in his salvation. Well, thank you so much for listening with me today, and I want to thank you for your ongoing encouragement and support. Please remember to support this ministry financially if you can. By your support, we're able to reach other people through this radio broadcast up and down the Ottawa Valley through the CFR radio, CFRA radio, and also through our website and ministry, which reaches people around the world. Perhaps you're someone who's been listening to us on the internet, who's been downloading our podcasts from the website. Perhaps you live far afield and you are very glad to receive this good news. Would you consider making a donation to Good News Christian Radio through the website or by sending us a check to Post Office Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0? For Canadian residents, we can send you a receipt at income tax time. And all of our donors have our thanks, not only for your financial support, but also for your prayers. Now, please be sure to worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and lived out. To conclude our program, I'd like to have you listen to a song that says, invites Jesus to come. And you may be inviting Jesus to come into your life. You may be inviting him to return to the world, which he is going to restore. This is Steve Bell singing, Come, Thou Long-Expected Jesus. I do pray that God will hold your heart and you would know Jesus personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart, and may the Heavenly Father surround you with his constant, abiding, and accompanying love.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 C.